It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing.
Well, my brothers and sisters, we have entered into the month of May. And guess what? This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 118:24, Psalms 122:1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. My dear wife will take us to the throne of grace.
Let's pray, Father in heaven. We thank you for this time to come together, to open up your word. We pray that you will bless us this morning as you give the unction of the Holy Spirit granted unto our pastor. Fill him with your spirit. Anoint the words that he may speak to us and help us to grow in grace and wisdom. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, brothers and sisters, our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time for Christian. It's about
good morning, brothers and sisters, again, and it's time now to talk about how to overcome sin, and so many other wonderful topics are in 1 John 5:4. We usually pick one theme, but we're studying 1 John chapter 5, I should say, 1 John chapter 5, and let's pray. Dear Father, as we study the precious Bible, we pray for the precious Spirit to give us precious insight for a precious victory. We ask that you bless us in our daily walk, in today's trials ahead. Help us to be found faithful, that we will be made into your great image. We thank you, Lord, in the precious name of Jesus. Burn out all selfishness and pride and envy and all those things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Bible says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. So brothers and sisters, there are people that say we don't have to keep the commandments. People go to great lengths to say, okay, which ones do apply today? And I can tell you which ones apply, because what they're trying to do when they ask that question, like the very last verse of this says, keep yourselves from idols. The Bible in the New Testament tells us in the last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous. That's one of them. Boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents. That's one of them. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. That's one of them. You see what I'm saying? So you'll see mentioned all of them in different verses in the Bible. But I want to take you to the book. What they're really trying to do, my friends, is trying to say, they won't come out and say it, but they really don't want to keep the Sabbath. So they try to confuse you to say, okay, well, there were ordinances and there were these statutes and all of that stuff was part of the old covenant, they say. Well, why then would Jesus say in Matthew 24, verse 20, but pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Now, what was he talking about? Let's go to the beginning of the chapter. In the beginning of the chapter, it says, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. So Jesus is saying the temple is going to be destroyed. Guess what? That was most likely in A.D. 30 to A.D. 31 when he said that, and it got destroyed in A.D. 70. So it got destroyed during the time of the New Covenant. Let's call it that, because they say the New Covenant, which was ratified by the blood of Jesus, they just don't understand the New Covenant has always been in place. It is called an everlasting covenant. It's the same one God gave to Abraham and in Exodus. As he was about to give it to his people, he said, I remember, as I see your bondage, I remember the covenant that I made with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob. That means I'm giving the same one to them. And the Bible in the New Testament clearly says Abraham is a example of the new covenant. So God only had one covenant, brothers and sisters. When mankind made extra unnecessary promises that they didn't keep, because that was in a commitment, that added another covenant. It's called old because Moses killed an animal and the blood ratified that covenant. So it got ratified first, but it didn't come first. And therefore, the blood of Jesus ratifies the new. So here Jesus is saying the temple is going to be destroyed. Now watch this. And as he said up on the Mount of Olives, verse 3, the disciples came unto him privately saying, tell us, when shall these things be and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? So he's saying, they're saying, Lord, you're talking about this temple, this beautiful temple of ours. You said it's going to be destroyed. When is this going to happen? And when is the world going to end? It's so interesting because they equated the destruction of the temple with the end of the world, okay? That wasn't the end of the world, but Jesus didn't fight them. He answered the question through inspiration, answering both questions, okay? So Jesus answered and said, take heed that no man deceive you. So the rest of this chapter is so that we are not deceived. And it starts talking about wars and rumors of wars, things of this nature. Some of that happened before Jerusalem's destruction, and some of that is happening now before Jesus is coming. So the bottom line is Jesus is saying that in a future time, you're going to be persecuted. It says, watch this. Let's see, where can I? Well, it says, if you look, when you therefore, verse 15, shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, that means when the Romans, with their paganism, surrounded Jerusalem, okay? It says, whoso readeth, let him understand them, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to his clothes. And woe to them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. So he's talking about a time where we will have to flee, a time of tribulation, time of persecution. And brothers and sisters, that's going to happen at the end of time. Also, it happened in Jerusalem's time when they were about to be destroyed. But God is giving us an answer because he's answering both questions. When shall these things be? What shall be the sign of that coming? You said, okay, don't be deceived. I'm going to tell you answers. But he said, pray that your flight is not in the winter or on the Sabbath day. So both after he died, A.D. 70 was a good almost 40 years after he died, and then we're near the end of the world. He said, when you have to run for your life for persecution, pray that you don't have to do it on the Sabbath. He's talking to his people, brothers and sisters, and he's talking to his people because it's showing that he's expecting and requiring that we keep the Sabbath after he died. So it couldn't have been nailed to the cross, because if it was nailed to the cross, it wouldn't be required. It didn't matter. He wouldn't say. He could have said, pray that you don't have to flee on Monday. Pray you don't have to flee on Tuesday. Pray you don't have to flee on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, whatever. He said, pray when you have to flee that you don't have to flee on the Sabbath, okay, and that it's not cold. God is a God of mercy, brothers and sisters. He loves us, and he doesn't want us to be cold, and he doesn't want us to have to be running and thinking, running for our lives on the holy Sabbath day when we can be focusing on him. So, my brothers and sisters, when it says in verse 2 of 1 John 5, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments, I think it's John 15, in chapter 15, it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. It's the Ten Commandments, my brothers and sisters. The Ten Commandments are the foundation. It's the great constitution. We have all kind of laws. We have federal statutes. We have state statutes. We have local ordinances. But the Constitution is the supreme law of the land. The Bible has a constitution. We have a constitution in God. It's the Ten Commandments. That's what God spoke. And that's what God wrote with his own finger. Moses wrote other laws in a book. Okay? The Ten Commandments was separate, a separate document, and it came first. So, my brothers and sisters, notice what it says. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. That means you overcome sinning against the commandment. That means you have victory in your life, friends. People make it sound like it's so legalistic. You don't have to kill. You don't have to steal. You don't have to lie. You don't have to be adulterous. You don't have to, and then you can have some that people don't see. You don't have to be proud and arrogant and envious of others. You don't have to be that way, my friends. It's because you want to be that way. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Okay? So, those who don't believe that the Holy Spirit is a being, the Bible says there are three. That's all I can tell you. And some people say that's not in the Scriptures. Yes, it is in the Scriptures, and it has been found to be in the discovered Scriptures that made it into the canon of Scripture. You know, you have the Dead Sea Scrolls and things of this nature. This was found to be in there. So, the bottom line, friends, is that that's why I believe the Holy Spirit is a being. But I follow counsel. We don't know the Spirit's true nature, and so it's not anything that we should argue about. However, I do not accept the Trinity. Now, what are you talking about? You just said you believe the Holy Spirit is a being, and you said, there's three. That's not the Trinity. The Trinity means there's one being, but he can pop himself out as a Father, pop himself out as a Son whenever he wants to, and pop himself out as a Holy Ghost. That's the Trinity. So every Protestant church that says you accept the Trinity, that's what you accept, brothers and sisters. Now, you can try to redefine it, but that's like saying I believe in heaven,
and it's hot up there. It's going to burn forever. That's not what the Bible teaches about heaven. That's not the definition of heaven. That's not the biblical description of heaven. So why would you describe hell, but you call it heaven? That doesn't even make sense. It doesn't make sense, brothers and sisters. I believe that Jesus died on the cross. Okay, well, to me, that means he died by drowning. Okay, well, that's not dying on a cross. I believe in he died by crucifixion. Well, I believe in the crucifixion. So if you say I believe in the crucifixion, that means he drowned in an ocean. No, that doesn't mean that. Crucifixion has a meaning. The reason why Protestants accepted the word Trinity is because, and Seventh-day Adventists included, is because there were two men. Their names were Barnhouse and Martin, and last name, and they were trying to unite evangelicals to do away with all cults. They were trying to expose Jehovah's Witnesses as a cult, expose the Mormons as a cult, expose Adventists as a cult, whatever, okay? But they don't even realize the Roman Catholic Church is the biggest cult in the world. You're in a cult when you follow a man, you do whatever that man says, and that man can even forgive you of your sin. And when that man and those that follow him get involved in sexual sins, it just gets swept under the rug. You know I'm telling you the truth, brothers and sisters. That's a cult. You're in a cult if you follow your pastor. And if he says something that is not right, you will not study it for yourself. That's a cult. And there are present truth cults, brothers and sisters. People don't believe that, but it is. If you not that it has to be a cult, but you can have a cult experience, okay? If you would not follow the scriptures and think for yourself, because you have respect for a man, and if whatever he says goes, and you would not question it, that is a cult experience, my brothers and sisters. And so my brothers and sisters, they didn't want to be in a cult, so people started, they laid down some things that have to happen in order for you not to be listed as a cult. And so, and I'm only bringing out Seventh-day Adventism because I have to be honest with you. The movement is the truth. The Seventh-day Adventist movement is the truth. That's why I bring it out. And I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, they made changes in the doctrines in the late 50s when Barnhouse and Martin were going around. That was in the late 50s, 1950s. I wasn't born yet. Some of you were born. Some of you weren't born yet. And that's what they did. And so when they actually, to prove that they saw this as a change, as a new thing, what they did was, when they trademarked the name Seventh-day Adventist in 1980, they made the application. It was finalized in 1981. They gave the starting date of the church as 1963. Now, that's going to shock some of you, but you can go to the United States Trademark Office and look up General Conference. You can do it online. I have it, brothers and sisters. I can show it to you. It's the United States Patent and Trademark Office. They actually did. And what am I talking about? I'm dealing with this scripture. There are three, but three is not Trinity, brothers and sisters. Okay, that's what I'm trying to tell you. The word three here is not a Trinity. It just is the number within the Godhead. Trinity is one being. That's what it means by definition. Trinity is one being that manifests itself. The Catholic Church came up with the word Trinity, and that was what the doctrine means, okay? So let me see if I can find this for you. And I don't even know how well it's going to show, but I will do my very best. Give me a second here, brothers and sisters. Because I do believe when we make certain statements, we need to back it up. Okay. I don't know if you can see that. You all can't see that. I think it's too light. Let me see if I can darken my screen. And I realize everybody... may not be able to, well, I mean, those on the call can't see it. But if you send me a text, I will send this to you. Okay, so let me see. How do I darken my screen? Okay, let me just go to settings. I just want to show this to you just so you know I didn't make this up. Okay? Okay, brightness. Let me see if I can lower the brightness down. Okay, now that the brightness is down. And you see that. There you have it. That's what it's going to look like, those on you on the call, on Facebook. Now, you won't see those arrows. I made those arrows, but this is the actual trademark of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists. And right there, it's 1963 and then a bunch of zeros because you can put the date as in the day and the month, okay? So when we speak of the movement of truth, we're not talking about an organization, because that organization totally divorced itself from its origin when there was truth. It started in 1863, not 1963. The organization did. The movement started around even before 1844, but they organized and became an organization in 1863. When they patented, they said, we're not a part of that original organization anymore. We have started a new organization in 1963. Okay? There you have it. It's the United States Patent and Trademark Office. They're actually involved in trademark lawsuits as I speak, because they're trying to stop anybody else from using the name Seventh-day Adventist. Shame on them. That being said, I would simply say that God is good, and there are three, and three is not Trinity, okay? That's all I want to say, and I wanted to tell you that that particular organization, which was an organization that promoted all truth, they no longer do, and they've accepted the Trinity, which is Catholic, okay? Now, you have a lot of people that take an opposite view of this, and they go way too far. They believe the Holy Spirit is not a being, but the Bible says there's three, okay? The Bible calls the Holy Spirit a he in John 16. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. And so there you have it. That's my position. That's what verse 7. There are three that bear record in heaven, and I wanted to address the Trinity and how the various churches. Now, the other churches, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, they all believe in the Trinity too, and they did the same thing. They said, okay, we're going to accept the Catholic Trinity, but we're going to redefine the term. Okay, that's what they do. So they say, well, there's really a separate Father, a separate Son, and a separate Holy Ghost, but they use the term Trinity. So, again, you would never do that with any other doctrine. You would not call crucifixion a drowning. You would not call a baptism a flight in the sky. You see what I'm saying? So why would you call the Trinity an experience that was different than what it really meant? Okay? That being said, we're reading on. And there are three that bear record in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. These three agree in one. Now, all I can tell you is there's going to be more mention of water and blood. I can tell you in the Old Testament sanctuary, you do see that the blood was spilled on the brazen altar where the lamb or animal was slain. And then you also see water in the laver that represented justification, that represented a new heart that God gives us. He covers us with the red blood, and then he purifies us with the pure water. So our sins are both forgiven, and we actually get a new heart. We get cleansed. Okay? Then you continue into the sanctuary where you saw the table of showbread. You got to have to study the Bible. You saw the altar of incense. You have to continue in prayer. You have to you see the golden candlestick. You have to let your light shine in good works, okay? So these are the plan of redemption. You also see it mentioned at Christ's death, because when they pierced him in his side, there came out blood and water. Now, that actually was God's design to teach a wonderful principle, but there was a physiological explanation for that. Christ did not die of crucifixion. He died of the weight of the sins that you and I committed. It crushed out his life because he had to pay the second death for us, okay? So when his heart ruptured, okay, and the blood coagulates because he was dead already, they pierced that cavity. The red cells, being heavier, they moved out to the bottom of the cavity before the piercing. The clearer fluids up at the top. So when they pierced that cavity, most likely the red cells came out first, and then what appeared to be water came out second. That's not what happens if you stab somebody. When you stab somebody, all you see is blood, because there's no time for it to stay within the cavity and coagulate and separate. But blood will coagulate and separate if you separate it from the human body and put it in a tube or whatever. So we believe that that was a natural phenomenon, but it had a spiritual lesson, because Christ both forgives us through his death, and through his death we get a new heart, which gives us the beginning of our life of victory. It's called justification by faith. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which ye have testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave his Son. And this is the record that God has given unto us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. You need to memorize this one, brothers and sisters, because it will give you courage in your prayers. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of him. If any man see his brother in a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. So, brothers and sisters, we are to keep working with brothers and sisters, unless the sin is the person just gone too far. We should keep working with each other, and we should not pray that a person's sin is unto death. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whatsoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. So, my brothers and sisters, the bottom line is that we don't have to keep sinning. The Bible is clear. And what is sin? 1 John 3:4, sin is the transgression of the law. And then 1 John 5:17, all unrighteousness is sin, okay? There's another scripture that says whatsoever is not of faith is sin. We have different definitions of sin, but they all lead to victory, commandment keeping. And I told you the reason why that whole theory was brought up in the Sunday church movement. It's to try to come up with a reason why we don't have to keep the Sabbath. See, they don't want to admit the origin of the Sabbath. The Sabbath was originated by the Roman Catholic Church. It's not in the Bible. And the Roman Catholic Church, I'll give them credit. They are honest. They are the ones that are saying it's not in your Bible, Protestants, Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterian, non-denominational. It's not in your Bible. We changed it, and you're honoring us when you keep Sunday. That's what they say. They're honest about it. It's those who keep Sunday are dishonest, so they had to twist the whole Bible around, throw the baby out with the bathwater, trying to find a way to explain away the Sabbath day. That's what people did, brothers and sisters. Jesus said, in the future, after my death, after I paid the price, after the blood of the new covenant has been ratified, I want you to pray that when you have to flee, you don't have to flee on the Sabbath day. Now, some people, oh, he was talking to Jews. He was pointing to a time where the Jews were no longer the people of God. He was pointing to a time that was at the end of the world. So you can't say that, you can't find, that's just another way to try to twist the scriptures. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and that he hath given us understanding, that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Brothers and sisters, the Bible is plain. It's real clear. We should accept it as it reads, and only when it is clearly symbolic do we go with a symbolic meaning. But we take the Bible as it reads. That's a principle of Bible study. And what people try to do, they try to explain away and imagine away and all kind of things away the very simple, plain truths. The Bible says, remember the Sabbath. They, as his custom was, Jesus went into the synagogue on the Sabbath. Paul did the same. Jesus said he wants us to keep it. And the bottom line, friends, is that the mark of the beast is coming. And the mark of the beast is the enforcement of Sunday worship. It is coming. Democrats don't know it. They're participating in that destruction of our liberty by the LGBTQ movement, which uses the Constitution. You see, if the Constitution is not confused, they would not produce a Sunday law, because they can't establish a religion according to the First Amendment. Okay? The Republicans are clouding the Constitution and participating in the forthcoming Sunday law by saying things like it was our constitutional right to go in and do the insurrection on January 6th. It still clouds the Constitution. That's what the devil wants, because God allowed this nation have a constitution that allowed for religious freedom. That freedom will be taken from you. It will culminate in a Sunday worship movement, and I am here to tell you it's the truth from the Bible. It's the mark of the beast. And God wants you to have the seal of the living God, which is the Sabbath day, which is a reminder of his creative power in your life. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the truth. We ask that you help us to keep it and help us to stand firm against evil and against wickedness and against error and stand in love for the brethren and love for people, allowing your spirit to guide us. Thank you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, my brothers and sisters, we're going to take a break, and we will be back with a health segment entitled Aided by Pure Air. It is now time for our intermission with the torso song.
There's a one-of-a-kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are his natural chemo. Escape to the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon line. Enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't our door, we will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine and pop? You can break every chain, your addiction can stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. No disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how. You can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Come and see.
Amen. Praise God. All right, Sister Lynn is going to be sharing with us, Aided by Pure Air.
Good morning. Happy Monday. Aided by Pure Air. The influence of pure, fresh air is to cause the blood to circulate healthily through the system. It refreshes the body and tends to render it strong and healthy, while at the same time, its influence is decidedly felt upon the mind, imparting a degree of composure and serenity. It excites the appetite and renders the digestion of food more perfect and induces sound and sweet sleep. The lungs should be allowed the greatest freedom possible. Their capacity is developed by free action. It diminishes if they are cramped and compressed. Hence, the ill effects of the practice so common, especially in sedentary pursuits, of stooping at one's work. In this position, it is impossible to breathe deeply. Superficial breathing soon becomes a habit, and the lungs lose their power to expand. A similar effect is produced by tight lacing. Thus, an insufficient supply of oxygen is received. The blood moves sluggishly. The waste, poisonous matter, which should be thrown off in the exhalations of the lungs, is retained and the blood becomes impure. Not only the lungs, but the stomach, liver, and brain are affected. The skin becomes sallow, digestion is retarded, the heart is depressed, the brain is clouded, the thoughts are confused, gloom settles upon the spirits, the whole system becomes depressed and inactive, and peculiarly susceptible to disease. This reading this morning is coming from Councils on Diet and Foods, pages 104 to 105. So let's breathe good air and not wear tight clothing so our organs can work properly, especially the lungs. Thank you so much, and may God be with you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, my friends. The roll call begins with Facebook, and we have Virginia represented. We have a dear sister, Victoria, not so sure where she's from. We have a dear sister from Georgia. And on the call, we have Ohio. We have Alabama. We have Maryland. We have Delaware and Delaware again. We have Ohio again. We have Oklahoma. We have South Carolina. We have Georgia. And we are your servants here in Pennsylvania. So, my brothers and sisters, the phone lines are open if you have anything you'd like to share. We have approximately, I guess you'd say, about 18 minutes to the top of the hour. And phone lines are open. Just press star 6 if you have anything you'd like to share with us at this time. All right, we do have Sister Odessa on the line. We'll take her call now. Good morning, Sister Odessa.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Pastor, and everyone on the line. This is Sister Odessa. Just truly a blessing to be able to go to work late this morning so I can hear your broadcast. Thank you so much for the message this morning. I truly enjoy it. And as I was studying my lesson this morning, I was thinking about a lot what you were saying. But anyway, it's not a question, but I just want to, the young lady that brought the health message, she speaks so softly, and I had to put on a speaker in order to hear her. So just have her to really speak into to the mic so everyone can hear. I just praise the Lord for everything in the message this morning. So God bless you. Continue to keep us in prayer and continue to keep me in prayer, my family. I'm doing great. The weather here is a little cold, a little rainy. You know, it's just really a little bit of up and down. But I just praise the Lord just to see another day. So thank you all so much and have a wonderful day. I'm getting ready to go to work. God bless you.
God bless you, too. Thank you so much. Amen. All right. Is there anyone else that would like to share anything?
I want to say something. I have a nephew who is having a very difficult time, and I really need prayer for him for direction. I've been speaking with him almost every day last week, and so I'm just asking that you would just pray for him and his decision-making and everything that he's going through. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, sis. Thank you. We will definitely keep your nephew in prayer. All right, friends. Is there anyone else that would like to share anything? All right, we've got Sister Donna. Take her call. Good morning, Sister Donna. We can't hear anything. Sister Donna, you might be on mute.
Good morning to everyone on the line. Can you hear me now?
You're very, very faint. I don't know if you're far away or if it's picking up from your Bluetooth or something.
Well, I'd just like to say good morning to everyone on the line and ask prayer for Candace as she is recovering from emergency surgery. And God bless you in your ministry. Thank you, Sister Lynn, for the message today. And everybody have a blessed day.
Thank you, sis. Can you tell us again who it is that's recovering from emergency surgery?
My name is Candace.
Oh, I didn't have to have the exact name, but it was some. Is it a relative?
Yes, my daughter.
Your daughter. Okay, we didn't hear the word daughter. I couldn't hear it anyway. Okay, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Okay, God bless you. All right, we'll keep it open if there is anyone else that would like to share anything before we close out. All right, it's time for our closing prayer. My wife, Undreamed Of, will take us to the throne of grace at this time.
Father in heaven, we thank you for this time to have opened up your word and be able to receive fresh matter from heaven. We pray that your spirit will continue to abide with us as we go throughout this day, ultimately working service unto you. We pause at this time to uplift Candace from her surgery, Lord. We ask that you will bless her, heal her. It may all be done in accordance with your perfect will for her life. May she seek your face in all that you do for her, and may she serve you, Father, faithfully. We ask that you would be with her and her family, Lord, during this time of recovery. And we pray that you would be with others that may be going through whatever circumstances are needed for your strength, your love, your peace to be granted. We ask that you would do so. And we pray that you will help us all, Lord, individually to keep our walk close with you. This is our prayer, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. But he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God would open ways before us now, undreamed of. God bless you.
Amen. I want to say we just saw a reading from our dear sister on Facebook. It says, needing prayer, wanting to be, I believe it's baptized again in our loving truth, Seventh-day Adventist truth, I'm thinking she's saying. Stay on the narrow path. God fulfills my life and joy. Prayers for my children. So, Lord, please bless our dear sister and whatever the issue is, if she's needing baptism and wanting to return and to you and your truth, and also for her children, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, brothers and sisters, it's time now for our closing song, I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust.